Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
Well, welcome. Glad you guys are here. We're in a series right now called The God of Miracles. And what we are doing in this series is we are approaching God as the God who does signs and wonders, as the God who does miracles, as the God of all power, as the God who did Genesis 1. I mean, that's the biggest miracle ever. He created everything out of nothing. I got some questions when I see him about how he did that, because that's just crazy. But we want to talk about the God of miracles that we can know, that we can interact with, that we can participate. He'll even use us to do his miracles. His favorite way to get miracles done is to use humans. It's the funniest thing. He loves to allow us to partner with him to see miracles happen. So when God wants to part a sea, he tells Mo to lift a stick. Like, that's bizarre to me. Moses, lift the stick. And then all of a sudden the sea parts. But God wanted to use a human being to get the thing done. He loves it. And so he's the God of miracles. We're the people who belong, that we're part of the family of the God who does miracles, and he wants to use us. And so what we've been doing in this series is we've been going kind of theme by theme of miracles that we see in the Bible. And then I'm sharing personal stories of where I've seen God do that miracle. I've seen it. And my hope in this is to give us a balance of the Bible and also testimonies from real life, from just some normal dude, to help build our faith to believe God still is exactly who he said he is in the Word, and we're still writing the story, and we get to be a part of the God of miracles expressing himself in 2020. And so that's the hope with this series. Now today's session 26, Fun Gifts from the Lord. That's what I'm calling this one, Fun Gifts. And what I want to do today is I want to connect last week's message and this week's message. Last week's message was the God of provision. And it was talking about God meeting our needs. And it was related to this Bible verse, give and it will be given to you. We also looked at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, where it says, sow generously and then you will reap generously. We were looking at that, but last week the focus was he'll meet our needs. He'll take care of our needs. Listen, I like to have my needs met, but I'm not done when that's done. I still want more. I don't know if there's something wrong with me, but once my needs are met, there's still things in my heart that I want. There's still stuff. And as many times as I pray, God, take away these desires, the more I see him pointing me to the Word of God saying, aren't I a good father that loves to give good gifts to my kids? So it's beyond him being the God who can meet needs. He's the God who wants to give us stuff. And so today we're going to talk about the God who wants to give us stuff and how do we position ourselves to be in that receiving mode. So Luke 6:38, I want to read it to us again. This is the same verse we were looking at last week. Luke 6:38, give and it will be given to you. A good measure pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. This to me is an invitation for more than just my needs being met, because I don't have that many needs. I mean, I got some, but if it's being poured into my lap, a good measure overflowing, that sounds to me like I got extra at the end of the day. It sounds to me like more than just my needs are met. This sounds to me like a promise that if we will sow, if we will give our finances into God's kingdom, this to me sounds like a promise he'll see it and turn around and do us a solid. Do us more than just take care of our needs. Actually give us good things. But isn't that the nature of the Father? Matthew 7, 9 through 11. I read this verse or alluded to it a minute ago. Matthew 7, 9 through 11 says this, which of you, this is Jesus, who's an expert on the Father, by the way, okay? He says, which of you, if your son asks for bread, say, no, here's a stone, eat it. Your teeth are gonna love this stone. Yum, 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 yum. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, we'll give him a stone. And the concept is nobody, and if anybody does, we need to put them in jail. Jail. Or if he asks for a fish, we'll give him a snake. I was just hungry. No, here's a snake instead to devour you and bite you. And yeah, no one does that. And Jesus is going, yeah, I know, because fathers wouldn't do that to their kids. He said, if you then, who are evil, if you wouldn't do that and you're evil, you got issues. You know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him for good gifts? How much more? Now, so this is about gifts. This isn't about needs. This is about good gifts. I like that term, good gifts. That's a fun one. I'll tell you what, if you're ever at a loss of things to pray, just go, God, give me good gifts. Give me good gifts. That's a great prayer. And give me good gifts. Just rolls off the tongue. God is a God who gives good gifts. But check this, to those who ask. And so I want to make a distinction today because I recognize some of you are in a position and we're all working through our stuff. I want to help empower us today. Some of you are in a position where you might have enough faith to believe that God would take care of your needs, but you may not believe that God would take care of your good gift once. But Jesus, testifying about the Father's nature, he says, if you ask your Father to give you good gifts, your Father will give you good gifts. Now, I want to tell you, there are times in our life where the Bible, it's true all the time, always. But there are times in our life where the Bible doesn't look like it's figured out how to do it for us yet. Like, it's like, well, Lord, I've read this Bible verse, I've been praying it, but it's kind of like, is this one broken? Like, is this principle of the kingdom, like, is it like on pause right now, or is it like not working? It's the zip code. It just doesn't work in 76013, I guess. It probably works everywhere else. You need to know something. The Bible is true, and your experience is a liar. The Bible is true. You got saved because the Bible says that God so loved the world. That's where you got that information, the Bible. Maybe a human told it to you, but you got the information from the Bible. The Bible is true. And let every man be a liar. Let every circumstance or zip code be a liar. The Bible is true. Why is that important? There are times where we need to continue to believe the promises of God, though they are not yet. One thing you need to know, God is a good father, and he gives good gifts to his children. It's important that we know that. Not just our needs, even our wants. Now that term, good gifts, super fun. Because what's really funny, my wife likes stuff that just is like the weirdest stuff in the world to me. Little House on the Prairie. I can't stand it. She loves Little House on the Prairie. I'm like, oh my gosh, please deliver me from Little House on the Prairie. So if someone gave me a Little House on the Prairie DVD collection, I might throw up a little in my mouth. But if someone gave my wife a DVD collection of Little House on the Prairie, she'd probably be like all excited and be telling me about it and be like, oh Lord, help me. Now here's the reason that this matters. Good gifts are tailored to the recipient. So what's a good gift to you may not be a good gift to me. What's a good gift to me, you might look at and go, that's just silly. Why would anybody spend money on that? It's probably true for pretty much everything I want in life. So here's my point. Good gifts, it's actually a tailored expression of the God who knows you, who loves you, who knows your personality, who formed you in your mother's womb, who knows you intimately. He knows what makes you tick and how you're different from the person next to you. And he gives good gifts to his children. Those good gifts are tailored for you. So we're not even just talking about random good gifts. Because if you get it, listen, it's kind of like nothing worse than when someone tries real hard and they give you a gift you totally don't want. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. And you have to fake it. Thanks. Another DVD collection of Little House on the Prairie. Thanks. It's so great. I love it. Garage sale next week. There's kind of nothing worse because you know they were trying, but it totally doesn't touch you at all. And it almost kind of even goes the opposite direction, because it's like, man, I could have gotten something out of this. And instead, I got this thing I didn't want, and I had to fake you out and pretend I liked it. It doesn't work that way with God. When the Father gives good gifts to his children, they're tailored to you, and they come from the one who made you, who knows you better than you know you. It's important. I want to understand how to get blessed, because I want to be honest with you guys. I want everything the Bible says. Everything. If it says it, I don't want to just believe it. I want to do it. I want to do it and experience, not do it so I have a checklist. Did that one, Genesis chapter 6, did that one. I want to encounter God in it. I want to know what the word says, and I want to do what the word says so I can encounter God that way. Because here's one thing I've learned. You encounter God differently in absolutely every single form of partnership. You encounter him differently. When you give away your money and then you see God give back to you, that's a different form of connection and partnership than when you pray for someone to get healed and they get healed. It's a completely different mode. I want what God wants to give us. And I'm telling you, we're going to look at this passage. Last week, we just touched it. Today, we're going to dive into it. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 and following, because I want what this passage promises me. I want it because it's in the Bible. I want it because it's a promise of how I can interact with God, how I can know God, and how I can experience him. I want it because it's in the Bible. I want to be blessed with money because God says I can be. That's what I want. I don't want to be blessed with money so I can have money so I can say I have money. I want to do it because I want to experience God throughout the whole thing, but I want to do it his way. See, here's the thing. The Bible is obnoxious with its promises. It says the craziest stuff imaginable. You just have to follow not just the promise, but also the rule book. You got to do God's stuff God's way, not God's stuff your way, God's stuff culture's way, God's stuff you on a bad day way. We got to follow what the Word of God says and do it the way the Bible says to do it, and then we'll experience what God actually intended for us to experience. Great example. Sexual immorality is from the devil. Sex is from God. We do not want to embrace sexual immorality. We want to fully embrace what the Lord gave us as a gift to humanity, sex inside the confines of marriage. This is a great example. Like, let's do things the way God said. Let's be blessed the way God said, and let's not taint it and do it our own way. Let's follow what the Word of God says the way the Word of God says it. All right. Well, let's do 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. And then after we dive into this a little bit, I'll share some stories. 2 Corinthians 9, 6. Remember this. This is Paul writing to the church of Corinth. And, you know, I don't want to read phrases like remember this and pretend I didn't read it and just keep reading the rest of the phrase, the rest of the verse. I want to read a phrase like remember this, and I want to think, why did Paul say that? Why did Paul say remember this? Probably because we're going to have a tendency to forget this. Probably because we're going to have a tendency to have life beat the snot out of us and walk into situations where we're supposed to be remembering something, but we're dull to the thing we're supposed to be remembering. So I think Paul is drawing our attention. I think he's saying, this is a truth. It's one that you already know. It's one that you're going to need to revive in your soul again and again. It's one that you're going to need to stir yourself up and remember this. Remember it. You know it's true. Remember it. Force yourself to think about it. Remember it. Whoever sows sparingly also reaps sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Paul says, I want you to remember, and a year from now, remember, and 3 months later, remember, and 10 years from now, remember, give away your money generously. I want you to remember to give away your money generously. Because if you remember and you do it again, it's going to work again. And then a little bit later, you remember and you do it again, it's going to work again. I want you to remember this. He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and who sows generously will also reap generously. However, verse 7, the verse right after it, be happy about it. Deal with your soul. This means it's possible. And you got to think about this. Paul's writing to a church full of people. Some of those people were having really good weeks when they got this letter. Some of them were having horrible weeks. Some of them, like, Maybe a family member just died because of their faith. I mean, some people have got some really bad times, some really good times. Paul just blankets all of them. Remember this. So generously, each of you, verse seven here, so 2 Corinthians 9:7, each of you should give whatever, what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. This means it's possible to have a cheery heart while giving. This means it's possible for us to have that cheerful heart every time that we give. Now, if you find yourself having reluctancy in your heart or compulsion in your heart, that doesn't mean don't give. That means deal with those issues. I mean, it's like, I don't want to be nice right now. Oh, okay, well then you don't need to be nice. You could just be as mean as you want because you don't feel like it. Whatever. Where did we get that doctrine? I mean, there's all kinds of issues we got to work out in our heart, but while we're working those out, we still do the thing. We still follow the Lord, but recognize that the issue of reluctancy and compulsion, feeling compulsion, you want to work through that with God because you're thinking about it wrong. You're thinking about that money like it's your money. You're thinking about that money like if you give it away, you're all going to die. You're thinking about that money in a wrong way. Paul's inviting us into the eternal reality. You can always give away money because you know who's on the other end of it. You can actually be a cheerful giver every single time. I'll tell you what, it's way better to walk around cheery than it is grumpy, okay? My family, we got the Pout Pout Fish book. And man, I'm telling you, that Pout Pout Fish with the Pout Pout face, spreading the gloomy woomies all over, dreary wearies, whatever it is, all over the place. We want to have attitudes that are filled with life and light and truth and cheer. And the Lord says we can actually do that even in our giving. Next verse, this is 2 Corinthians 9:8. So let's keep marching through the passages here. And God, so if you have a cheerful heart and if you're sowing generously, this is what the Word of God says. And God is able to bless you abundantly. This is where I started. I figured out the rest of the Bible verses attached to it before and after later. I just found this phrase, God's able to bless Brad Stroop abundantly. I think I like that version of Brad Stroop. An abundantly blessed Brad. Yeah, I can get behind that, Brad. I like that. God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all you need, you'll abound in every good work. The promise of the Word of God is we can live abundantly blessed in the area of our finances. Now, there'll be trials and seasons and moments and dips and blips, but overall, we can live in abundant blessing because that's what it says. God is able. It's not you are able. It's not because you're so smart. It's not because you made all the right financial decisions. Try to do that. It's because God is able to bless you abundantly if we follow the rule book, if we give and it will be given to us, if we sow generously with a cheerful heart. See, I'm after getting blessed. And if all I have to do is give away money and be happy about it, I'll do it because I want to be blessed. I want to live abundantly blessed. That's kind of like a real extra explosive trailer you got there for the movie, Paul. You just said God knows how to abundantly bless. I mean, the guy who did Genesis 1 knows how to abundantly bless little old me. These are big promises that we do not want to downplay. We want to understand what's being said here. Well, Paul gives us a little bit more information a couple verses later. This is 2 Corinthians 9:11. We're doing the same passage here. I want you to go chew on this passage later. Okay, go look at it and see these verses for yourself. But here we are, 2 Corinthians 9:11. He says, now he who supplies seed to the sower. This is cool. Paul is using a farming analogy. He's talking about money, but he's using the word seed. And then he defines money being used, allocated, and given back to you in four different ways. But he's talking about money. He's using the word seed because it's a farming culture. Everybody understood what that meant. But it's money, okay? He says this. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. Paul's talking about four different ways money can and should touch your life. Let me give them to you. Seed for the sower. seed for the sower. So a guy is out in the field and he's got seed, and that seed isn't for snacky time. That seed is to put into the dirt. That's money to give away. Seed for the sower. Seed to give away, to get rid of. Because you're believing if I sow it into the kingdom of God, it's going to grow up like a mighty plant and it's going to wind up yielding something down the road. Money to be given away. Seed for the sower. That's the first category. Second, bread for food. You know how they make bread? They get seed, grain, and they ground it up and they do stuff and then they eat it. So this is money to live off of. This is bread for food. This is seed. This is money that's given to you for you to supply for your needs, for you to pay for your stuff and do your stuff and pay for the needs of your life. That's part of it too. I love that he actually started with money to give away though. And then he went to, oh yeah, by the way, I also know you have needs. You got to eat. I get it. Third, your store of seed. Well, that's a pretty cool idea. That's money in reserve. That's extra. A store of seed. So you got the food, the seed that you're, the grain that you're making bread, you're eating it. You got the grain that you're sowing into the ground, so you got more grain later on. But then you also got like the barn over here with got grain in it. A store of seed, that's extra money. That's savings and financial investments and extra money. This is great, Paul, this is awesome. And the last one he says, enlarged seed for harvest. This is even more money to give away. So check this out. He says, if you follow this principle, not only will I give you money to give away, I'll give you even more money to give away. Because this even more money is to increase the harvest of your righteousness. You can get a lot of righteousness done. You can get a lot of kingdom business done by giving away money. This is awesome. Here's the deal. When you're lost and you don't have God, there's only one way you get money. You go work, you get money. Now you have money. And then you use that money to do the bread for seed or the seed for bread thing. You use it to eat, okay? Bread for food. That's all there is out there. But when you enter into the kingdom of God, oh my gosh, do the doors fly open. And now you're no longer in charge of your money. He is. And if you'll be generous, because he who sows generously will also reap generously. If you'll now use that money and you'll go do kingdom stuff, you'll go see stuff done in the kingdom. God says, oh, I know how to bless you abundantly. I know how to abundantly bless you, making sure you have all your need, but even more than all you need, I want to make sure you've got an enlarged harvest of seed so that you can continue to give away even more money. As time goes on, even more money, not even less money. Even more money, not even less money, so that you can continue to increase your harvest of righteousness. Because when you give away money, it does powerful stuff in the kingdom of God. It changes hearts. It gets people saved. It helps people in need. It starts things. It remodels buildings that people can then come in and give their lives to Jesus in and encounter God and grow in the faith. I mean, finances moves the kingdom of God forward. And God says, I'm an excellent accountant. I'm watching where every dollar goes. Not in a you're doing bad, in a you're doing good. I see every dollar you're giving, and I'm actually crediting to your righteousness account all the good that happens in the kingdom because of the money you sowed in. Increase the harvest of your righteousness. I want to get upstairs and be shocked by the harvest of my righteousness related to money given away. I want to be shocked. I want people to come up to me and go, actually, because you did this, that had been this, then this guy got saved, and da, 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 and then this guy brought me to Christ, and then I led a revival and 1 million people got saved. Yeah, harvest of righteousness, $20. That's all I gave. I gave $20 to the thing, and I get to share in that. Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. See, guys, this is crazy. You giving away money into the kingdom changes things in crazy ways. Crazy ways. But look at this other verse. This is great. This is it should be 9 verse 11, not 6 or 11. You will be enriched in every way. You will be enriched in every way. I just got to stop there again. I want to be enriched in every way. I don't know about you. If it weren't in the Bible, I wouldn't be real passionate about it. But if the Bible says I can be enriched in every way, why in the world would I want to live differently? I want to be enriched in every way, but the way that we get there is we follow the protocol. We follow the plan. It says this, you'll be enriched in every way. Why? Why will I be enriched in every way so that I can have everything I've ever wanted in life and I can live high on the hog? Not exactly. You'll be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Huh? How's this work? Yeah, I want you to be enriched so you have even more money to give away, so you can have even more money to give away, so you can have even more money to give away. Because the more money you give away, the more thanksgiving is resulted. The more money you give away, the more that God can trust you with giving you more money. But that more money isn't so that you can use all of it for yourself and spend it on yourself. It's so that you can give it away. And the more money that you give away, the more money he'll give you to give away. And the more people are blessed and the kingdom moves forward. See, God wants to get miracles done. There are very few miracles greater than trying to get an American to let go of their dollars. This is a big miracle. Because you and I are all very self-centered. We are very self-focused. Me, mine, my family, my money. And God's like, yeah, you know, I created it all. That money's actually mine. And if you want more money, I'll give you more. But then I want you to give that to me too. And then give me that. But then all the money funnels through us and we get to be this funny little money river. There's money coming through, there's money going out, money coming through, money going out. I want to live that way because this is where the promise of living a blessed in an abundant way promise comes from the Lord. Just give you this last thought process here and then we'll jump into some stories here pretty quick. Hebrews 11:6 says this, without faith, it's impossible to please God because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and he rewards those who earnestly seek him. We've seen that verse a lot in this series, but I want to remind you, every time you give away money, it's an act of faith because you got to believe God's real again. Otherwise, you're just giving money away and that's pretty silly. If God's real, giving away money makes sense. If God's not real, giving away money is just giving away money, but he's real. And every time you give away money, remember Paul said, remember this, he's real, he sees you, and if you sow generously, you will reap generously from God because he's real. Remember this, here it is again, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Every time we give away money, sowing into the kingdom, every time you tithe, every single time you give 10% to this church, every time, it's like, I hope this Bible stuff's real because I could have used that 10%. Man, I would have made a nice vacation. And it's like, it's an act of faith every single time. And I want to remind us that God wants to bless us, but we got to give. We got to give. It's not enough to know these verses and hear these stories I'm going to tell and go, really cool. You yourself actually have to do it. And don't tell anybody you did it. Do it in secret. It's so much fun. God who sees what is done in secret will reward you. You're doing it before God, not before me, not before people, not before him. And it's not about the zeros. You guys know the parable, or not the parable, Jesus is actually watching this lady come up. It's Mark 12:41. Mark 12:41-44. Jesus said this, many rich people threw in large amounts. Many rich people threw in large amounts. But a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They gave out of their wealth, but she gave out of her poverty. She put in everything, all she had to live on. Here's why I want you to know this. You might hear a story and it's like somebody gave $100 or $1,000 or $1,000,000. And you think they gave more. Maybe they gave less. It's possible that they gave less because Jesus in this one makes it really clear. They gave less. Why? Well, because they were a millionaire and they gave $10,000, that $10,000 didn't touch them. $10,000 is a large gift, but it wasn't a large gift for them. It was actually far less than the 2 cents that the widow gave. Because when the widow gave the 2 cents, that was 100% of her money. So Jesus says, I want you to understand, we're talking about percentages here. We're talking about the pull on your lifestyle, on your comforts, on your wants, on your extra. We're talking about what does it cost you, not what if I blessed you and you're a millionaire and you give away $10,000 every now and then, that doesn't, like, it's like you gave nothing. Because that $10,000 didn't cost you anything. Whereas somebody else, they may take their whole life to come up with $10,000 to give away. And that would be far bigger than however many times the millionaire did it. You catching? It's not about the zeros. If you're giving away a dollar, $10, $100, $1 million, it's about where you're at in life, and there is one who sees you and he's watching your heart. He knows you. So it's not about a comparison between me and this person or you and that person. It's about comparison between your giving heart, the needs that are around you, and your resources being sown into the kingdom. Say it this way. Remember this. He who sows generously will reap generously. We want to be people who live generously. That's the objective, to live generously. Just as a little side point, it's really hard to not like a generous person. They have lots of friends. Generous people, you just want to be around. And not because they might give you something, though they might. You want to be around generous people because they're just happy-hearted. They're like, they don't count every little penny. They're just generous. Generous people are great. Be one of those great people. Generous doesn't mean you have lots of money. It means what you have, you're willing to spare. That's what generous means. There are plenty of generous people that live in the poorest places on the earth, and they are very generous. All right, I'm going to share some stories. Now, remember, I told you, when I came to know the Lord, I was finding these Bible verses, and I was getting my world rocked because I was confronted with this idea, this real problem. It was a real problem when it had been untested. And some of you may be in that situation right now in your personal life. These are Bible verses, but you don't have proof yet in your personal life. That's where I was at 18 years old. It was Bible verses, and I was like, well, it's the Bible. I just can't imagine why God would lie, but that seems so crazy. How does this work? I have money. I give away money. I get money? No. You work hard. You get money. You save money. That money has compounded interest. That's how money works. And God's like, well, yeah, that too. But I made that system up afterthought. That wasn't the first one. The first one was, I'm a generous God. I made everything out of nothing. I just gave it to you. Oh, Genesis 1 again. There we are. Okay. So God, if you're real about this, give and it will be given to you. Let me tell you the deal. I can remember the prayers. I had tons of these moments with God. All right, here's the deal. I'm going to believe your Bible. And I'm going to give away my money. And at that point, I'm a giant dummy. Because I gave away money. And I kind of needed that money. But I'll be your dummy. I just need you to do what you said you're going to do and give me money back, because that's what your Bible says. That's the deal, right? And I just remember going, it's a gamble. I'm going to go for it. I'm going to believe the word of God is true, and I'm going to give away my money and believe that God's going to give back to me. I told you last week some of the setup in those early days of where I was sowing my resources and finances and how the Lord was speaking to me. Well, I was in a situation where I was giving away the money that I would use for anything fun, anything good, anything enjoyable, anything extra. I was putting myself in a situation where Brad was going to be a very dull boy because I was going to have zero money for fun because I was giving it away. But I'm reading Bible verses that say, my Father is a good father. And he gives good gifts to his children. And I kind of went through a little bit of a reformation in my thought process that I want to invite you into. I want to invite you into a radical different way to see your money. Have as much fun as God wants you to have. And stop spending your money on yourself. Wait for God to spend money on you. Give you an example. Instead of having a giant fun budget, give away all that money and say, God, I want to have fun. Give me money, and I'll spend every dollar you give me on fun. But I'm going to give away my fun money. I want to invite you into this, because here's what it does for you. It makes you very clear on this thought process. You are not living beyond your means. You are not spending your money in ways that God is not pleased with. you are not spending your money on yourself. You are not using it to benefit yourself. I started this journey when I was 18 years old. I'm going to give away my fun money, and I'm going to trust God to give me fun money. So I had a lot of months with no fun, but I believed the word was true. I said, Lord, I want to see you move. So there's this conference I wanted to go up to in Kansas City. I was probably 18, 19, probably 19. I was 19 years old. It's a conference I wanted to go to. And I knew if I go to this conference, I'm going to drive all night. That way I don't have to stay in a hotel, you know, that first night. And then I'll just somehow make it through the day without any sleep the next day for the conference. And then at the end of the conference, somehow I'll just drive home again all night so I can save hotel money that night. So I'd only have to get a hotel for two nights. That was kind of my thought process. I was like, okay, hotel and gas. I go, I can just eat whatever food I find laying around outside. I bet you I can do this trip for $100. I was like, I think I can do it for $100. So I'm praying every day, God, I want to go to this conference in Kansas City. I want to go to this conference. God, I give away my money. You told me you'll give me good gifts. This is a good gift. I want it. Now, it's the day before the conference starts. The conference starts in Kansas City tomorrow. And I'm at work. I was working for a church here in the area. I'm at work, and I'm still holding on to this promise. I'm going, God, I want you to give me over $100 today. Because if you do, I'm going to know that you really want me to go to this conference and that this is one of those good gifts. I'm going to know. I want you to give me over $100 today. Now, $100 was a lot of money for me in that season of life. And I'm praying, God, I want you to give me $100. Now, the plan is if I somehow miraculously get money without ever asking anyone for it or telling anyone I want to go to the conference, because I didn't want anyone to know. I just wanted it to come from God. I didn't want someone to have pity on me. I wanted God to give and it will be given to me. I wanted to see the principle. So it's about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And I can remember it. Man, I can remember it. A piece of mail shows up for me at the church. No one knows the church address. No one, people sent me mail at my house, not at the church. I don't even know how they got the address for the church, okay? And it was my grandmother. And my grandmother, who I seriously don't know how she found the church address, because that just would not be her thing to go find that, okay? Somehow, she has mailed me a letter to the church 4.5 months after my birthday. And it shows up at the church at 4 o'clock. I would need to get on the road to drive all night. I'd need to go pack, get the stuff together. I would need to leave in a few hours, okay? She sends me a letter to the church. It says, oh, Brad, I'm sorry I missed your birthday. Here's a little extra. It was $200. Now, I just got to throw this in. I get this piece of mail and I feel God on it. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is it. And I look around at a couple of the interns and I go, I just want you to understand something. If there's $100 or more in this envelope, you're going to see me flip out. Just want you to know. They kind of look at me. I'm like, because I don't get mail at the church. But if I had to wait till I got home, it would be too late for me to put all the details together to get in the car to drive to make it. So I would actually need it here. I open that thing up. It's $200. I freak out of my mind. And now the whole way there driving, I am lit, just so excited. God sees me. He gives good gifts to his children, just like he promised. I didn't need to save up to go to this conference. God paid for it for me. You see it? Give and it will be given to you. All right, let's keep going. So sometime back, Amy and I, we just really needed some time away. And I was like, Lord, it's been a while since you've done any of that giving to us thing, but I believe you, and we really need some time away. I said, Lord, I need you to provide. Give us some time away somehow. Just give us some money so we can go away and get out of town or whatever. And as I prayed that, I immediately felt the Holy Spirit drop into my spirit the name of a friend that I knew. And I just felt like the Lord said, text him and ask him if he knows of any good deals in his area. And just say, hey, you guys are trying to get out of town. Ask him if he knows any good deals. So immediately I text the guy. He replies back immediately and he says, oh, so glad you asked.
Well, me too.
He said, actually, there's a guy in our church and they own a lake house and they love to bless ministry couples for people to come down and stay at the lake house for free. He said, I'll ask him. I'm sure it's going to be great. Another text message a few minutes later. Oh, I'm so sorry. The guy's actually in town and he's staying at his lake house. He said he's so sorry he's at his house. He wants to pay for you and your family to get an Airbnb for 3 or 4 nights. You pick the place. He's so sorry. He's at his house. He's so sorry. Okay. All right. I'll pick the place. We went and had the coolest place. It was so incredible. It was awesome. It was so great because the Lord takes care. He gives good gifts to his children. So we're this one, I've never shared this part of the story before because I didn't connect the dots until worship today while I was putting it together. Okay. So this was some years back. And we came into some money, and it was just, I don't want to get into it, but we had $2,000. And we decided, you know what, we're going to give the whole $2,000 away. And really what we wanted, well, really what I wanted was to go skiing with some friends, okay? Because there was a ski trip coming up. This was a good ways back. There was a ski trip coming up, and I really wanted to go skiing, but I was like, I'm not going to use that money for the ski trip because it was money that we'd earned, and I said, and so Amy and I talked about it or whatever, and there was a friend of ours that was in need. They were in serious need. And we approached this friend, and I said, hey, listen, Amy and I want to, you know, give you guys $2,000. And they started to weep, and they said, I've never been given that much money in my life before. I don't even know what to do. And this person is somebody that I know and love. They said, you're a missionary. I can't take this money from you. How are you giving me $2,000? I said, because I want to go skiing. And they looked at me and they said, you could use this money to go skiing. No, I couldn't use that money to go skiing. I made that money. I need God to give me money to go skiing. And I know if I give you this money, God will give me the money to go skiing. And they just shook their head and said, whatever, thanks for the money. And they went, and it really helped them. It helped them and their family. It was a really, really cool deal. Okay. The next week, someone walks up to me randomly and says, I felt like the Lord told me to give you $1,000. They give me $1,000, went skiing. Now, here's the part of the story I never connected until just like in worship. It was only a short time later, short time like 8 months, 10 months. It wasn't like 2 years or 5 years. Short time later, I am boarding a plane at a Love Field, and it's a Southwest flight, okay? And I am getting on this plane, and we had some security issues at security, so I'm the last person to get on the flight, and I wind up sitting down. It's a Southwest flight, which means they don't have assigned seating. I get the last seat on the plane, the very last seat. It's the back row between the big guy and the big guy, okay? And I'm there in the middle, the very last seat, full plane. I'm the last guy on the plane, and the Lord is totally in it. Thank you, Jesus, for security, having problems that day. I sit down, and I start talking to the guy, you know, on my left, and it's like, hey, what do you do? And he starts telling me a little bit, and he asked me, he said, well, what are you on your way to do? I go, oh, I'm headed to California for this thing. I'm a house of prayer director. He said, house of prayer, like Kansas City? I said, yeah. He said, me and my wife, we love the prayer movement. I go, cool. And we start talking a little bit. It's 15 minutes later. And he pulls out his checkbook and he says, how do you spell your last name? My wife's always telling me to sow into good soil. You're good soil. I tell him how to spell my last name. He writes me a check for $2,000. The exact amount that we gave to the friend just some, you know, 8 months before, 10 months before. So the Lord not only got me on the ski trip, but then also gave me the $2,000 back that I gave. You see, this is the Lord. Give and it will be given to you. I'm not telling you this so you give more money here. Give 10% here and never 11%. Give that other 1% someplace else and turn that other 1% into 10%, 20%, 90%. Go give away money elsewhere. Go find people. Go find situations and things. This is real. This is how the kingdom of God operates. Give and it will be given to you is not a cute idea. It's a God promise. He knows how to do it. 2,000 for 2,000 plus the 1,000 to go skiing, which is what I wanted. The Lord knows how to do this. I've got so many stories. I don't have time to share them all. I'll give maybe one more, and then we'll pray and ask God to help us. Listen, here's my objective. I want to get you guys believing this is real and it's normal. And it's not for super spiritual people. It's for anybody who believes the Bible who will just do it. But you got to believe it, and there are times where you have to press through. There were plenty of conferences I did not go to. There were plenty of ski trips I did not go on. But I've got these stories, and I got more than 10. I mean, I got a bunch of these. All right, so I'm praying, and I'm like, Lord, I really, really want a new MacBook Pro. And I just decide I'm going to pray for a new MacBook Pro. I'm going to pray for it every day. Like, Lord, I give away my money. I want a MacBook Pro. That's what I want. I got this old janky laptop. It gets the job done, but I don't like it. I don't like it at all. I want a MacBook Pro. I want a new MacBook Pro. And I start praying for it every day. Some months go by, and some people that love me gave me their used MacBook. And I was like, this is pretty cool. But I'm not going to stop praying because I didn't get what I asked for. So I said, Lord, thank you for this. This is awesome. It's also extra because it's not what I asked for. Said, Lord, I want you to give me a new MacBook Pro. Short time after I was given that used MacBook, which was such a blessing, it had some issues, whatever. I don't remember what the problem was, something minor or whatever. And it had AppleCare on it. So that means they, you know, help repair stuff or whatever. I take it into the Mac shop, and long story short, they mess things up, and then they mess things up again, they mess things up again, and I go in, and you know, it's actually, my dad's the mean one when he walks into customer service. He's the mean one. I'm the sweet one that tells you the mean words with a big smile on my face. I say, you have totally wronged me. 5 times. I am an irate customer. I am so mad right now. I'm not going to go write all those complaints, but the most scathing reviews you've ever heard, that's what I'm thinking and feeling right now. I'm actually way worse than my dad, because that guy, you don't know what to do with that guy. So they've messed me over 2, 3, 5 times, whatever. And I say, listen, I need this. I use this for work. It's got all my data on there. You guys have had this time delay for a week, whatever. I need you to make this right. The guy goes, hang on a second. He walks in the back. He talks to, I guess, a manager. He comes out. He says, hey, listen, there are these new MacBook Pros that aren't out on the market yet. They come out next month. Here you go. Hands me a new MacBook Pro. Wasn't even released yet. See, listen, I want to tell you, that's way cooler than you going and buying a MacBook Pro. Amen. Forever, I had a MacBook Pro and a God story. But what I had to do was trust that God knows how to give good gifts to his children. For real. In his timing, sometimes his timing is not ours, but he's good. See, I don't want to go get a bunch of stuff for me. I want Papa to give me all good things. And every good thing I ever have, I want to be able to point to it and say, God gave it to me. God gave it to me. So I just want to tell you really clear. When I'm more blessed than I am now, when my family has this and this and this, I want to tell you how we got it. It won't be because we bought it. The Lord will give it to us because that's how we live. And the Lord will give us the money to buy the thing, or he'll just give us the thing, or he'll give. I believe this like big time. And I want to invite you into it as well, that this is real.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.